Well, hello and welcome to the Bottom Line Me podcast, where we like to cover topics that are relevant to the land title industry. I'm your host, Ann Allard. A constant concern for all of us is cybersecurity these days. There's no doubt that with the ever-evolving landscape of these threats, it's crucial for all of us to remain vigilant and well-informed about the risks we face and implement best practices in order to mitigate them. Today, we're going to spend some time talking about some implications for sales professionals who are constantly on the move and do rely heavily on mobile devices to conduct business. So to shed some light on this pressing issue, I'm joined today by Peter Quazza, Assistant Vice President and Agency Account Manager here at Old Republic National Title Insurance Company, and a seasoned professional in the field of cybersecurity. Peter, welcome to the Bottom Line Me podcast. I'm so excited to have you share your insights and your expertise on this topic.
Thank you so much, Anne. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, we're delighted to have you. So, before we dive into our topic, perhaps you could tell our audience a little bit about yourself and maybe what got you involved or to become so passionate about the subject of cybersecurity.
Yeah, absolutely. Delighted. Yeah, I've been with Old Republic 32 years on and off. Worked my way up through searching, examining, started off in California, and then ended up here with Old Republic in the late 90s. So part and parcel of my job is to help educate and train our agents with regards to not only the technical aspects of what they do and the marketing and so on and so forth, but also to help elevate their sense of awareness as regards to potential threats out there. And cybersecurity over the last few years has worked its way up the hit parade, probably to be the largest potential threat to the welfare and safety of that title agent, the customers that they deal with, and of course, all of that flows up to us as the underwriter. So once I recognized that there was definitely a need there and a gap with regards to the agent's understanding to the threat levels and exposure, then I took it upon myself to really dig into this material, put together some CE classes, get it approved with the state. And the rest, as they say, is history. It was very well received, and it's a constant challenge to stay ahead of the bad guys. So that's really where the genesis of all of this started.
Awesome. Well, let's start with kind of the current landscape. Can you give us an overview of current threats, particularly that sales professionals that are frequently on the road might need to be aware of and that are maybe susceptible to?
Yes, I'd be absolutely. One of the things that I did do is in preparation and research for this podcast was kind of do a little bit of a deeper dive and try to go over the whole threat landscape. So I'm going to give you some macro numbers, and then we can kind of drill down onto some of the specifics that you're talking about. One thing I do want to make clear, this, while today we're specifically focusing on the exposure to the sales rep, the outside sales individual, everything that we talk about today is applicable to inside sales, outside sales, your professional responsibilities, the way you handle your own personal devices, because all of this is a threat vector to get to the title agent, to get to their customer, and ultimately to get to us as the underwriter. So just to kind of give you some macro stats that I pulled up for 2024, for example, the cybercrime hit in 2023, $8 trillion globally. So there is some huge, huge amounts here. With regards to the projection of cybercrime by 2025, it's expected to hit $10.5 trillion. So, we're talking some huge dollars here. The number one cyber attack is phishing attack. Okay. The number two is personal data breach. And we'll circle back to these in more detail as conversation develops. Investment fraud losses are the costliest, and those Those represent $3.3 billion, which is about 127% of the cybercrime is in that particular field. And of course, alongside investments, you're talking about insurance, which is what we deal in. Okay. Mm-hmm. Global cyber attacks altogether cost about $16.4 billion a day. Just to put it in perspective. 48% of small businesses believe that they are too small to be a victim of cybercrime. Well, I would say 70 to 80% of our agency base, we would classify as small business. Yeah. So that's a direct threat to us as well. 55% of all small businesses have no password or biometrics policies in place because they suffer what is called the normalcy bias, which means that because I haven't been compromised, because I haven't been attacked, the probability of that happening is slim to none, so they don't take the necessary precautions, okay, which increases their threat exposure. 47% of companies have policies in place to pay ransomware attacks. So they're more than happy to pay. But here's the challenge. Only 8% of those policies get 100% of their data back, even after they've paid the ransom.
Wow.
So those are just, I mean, I could go on all day about that, but those are just to create a flavor of the environment that we're dealing with. So let's talk.
I can't even count that high, Peter, frankly, but those numbers are staggering.
There are some best practices principles, and I won't get to all of them, but I'll go into the main one. There's a best practice principle called defense in depth, and what that means, I'll give you a medieval version of that, and then I'll give you a 21st century version of that. Defense in depth in a medieval version would be the castle on the hill. Okay, yeah. It was built with strong walls, thick walls. Here's the problem. As soon as they put a door in the castle, that created an exposure, access point. Mm-hmm. So then what did they do? They built a moat around the castle to make it even harder. Then they had a drawbridge, and maybe they had some soldiers on top of the castle. My point was that they understood that they had to secure and protect that location from invasions and attackers. Okay, so that was the medieval version. So fast forward to the 21st century, what would be a version of that? Well, basically, it's fundamentally our network. It's the way we operate. So if I'm a user and I'm using a mobile device or an endpoint, and then I'm going to use that to access the internet, and then maybe I'm going to access a web server, then I'm going to use an app server, and then eventually I'm going to get to a database. Okay. How do we protect all of that information? Well, first and foremost, we're going to use some kind of multi-factor authentication for the individual who's going to access their cell phone. Maybe I'm going to put a secure a mobile device mechanism on the cell phone itself. So it's going it's going to make sure it has the adequate passwords. It's going to make sure that it has the adequate safety patches on there. Then I'm going to use that mobile device. I'm going to access the internet. And I'm going to make sure I have the appropriate firewalls on the internet. I'm going to make sure that I can control the type of traffic that I'm using so that not everybody has access to everything. And then from there, I'm going to go to my web server. And then I'm going to go to my app server. And then what would the company do in this particular case? We're going to put firewalls in place so that everybody can kind of be controlled in how they access the devices. And then ultimately, I'm going to get to the database. Well, with the database, what am I going to do? I'm going to encrypt that data. I'm going to put access controls on that data. So that's basically the 21st century version of what we were doing in medieval times so that everything's locked up. Because the object of the exercise is to develop a system that has no single point of failure. Right. So that if there is a breach, everything else is protected, if that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense. I love the metaphor of the castle. It makes tons of sense to me. So we're talking about mobile devices a lot here and salespeople, and I think there's a temptation sometimes, particularly when you're on the road, you know, to want to serve your customer, to want to get, you know, a response or to want to get that information. So I think it causes us, you know, when we're on the road or we're outside of the office, to perhaps be a little bit more vulnerable to these kinds of things. So can you talk a little bit more about that? What are some things that a salesperson or anybody that's on the road or working remotely perhaps could kind of make sure that they're, it's always top of mind for them so that they're not vulnerable?
Okay. All right. So what I think you're saying is what are some of the most common vulnerabilities that that salespeople are exposed to on a daily basis with the best of intentions? We're here to serve our client. But sometimes that can be problematic. So like I'd mentioned earlier, phishing attacks are the number one. Okay. And a phishing attack is basically an email that's disguised as a legitimate email, and it's either got an attachment on it or it's got some embedded link in there that is either clicked on or uploaded. And then immediately what you've done is you've onboarded some kind of malware. Okay. So again, a lot of the filters that we should be developing is to be suspicious automatically of emails that we're getting from people that we don't know. Maybe it was something we weren't expecting. Okay. So there's a certain level of healthy paranoia that you need to basically bake into how you operate with your digital devices. Okay. The second most common vulnerability is a business email compromise. And again, there's a common theme here. It's usually about the bad guys pretending to be somebody that they are not in order to get you, the user, to engage in some kind of activity that is against your best interest and the best interest of the company. So in a business email compromise, you'd get an email from, say, from payroll or from senior, some senior executive, and automatically, you know, your heart starts racing. Oh, I better jump on this. Sure. I better take care of it. Okay. And so there's an eagerness to not really filter what you're getting and how to handle it. So that's how monies are wired out to the wrong person. That's right. How sensitive information is conveyed to hackers, because we almost have this Pavlovian response to communication depending upon the hierarchy involved from the information, from the email that we're receiving. Another common one, and again, I know you've heard this one, is social engineering. Social engineering really embodies all of the potential threats out there. Again, it's somebody pretending to be somebody that they're not in order for you to provide them with some type of information, login credentials, something like that. And again, there's a strong psychological aspect to this, because ultimately we all, the bad actors operate on a couple of key assumptions. Human assumptions, and that is, first and foremost, we all want to do the right thing. Okay. We automatically assume that people think that like we think. Okay. So if I'm operating in good faith, I assume that the people that I'm interacting with are operating in good faith. Well, that's a fatal flaw. Okay. So, and then you have that eagerness to please and that trust level, all of which get violated in a cyber crime. Ransomware is another one that is out there. Again, malicious malware, a link or some kind of attachment. The problem with the ransomware is that once you've uploaded that, it automatically encrypts your data. So you're locked out at that point. And then, you know, unless you're willing to pay, then you don't get your access back. And like we talked about before, only 8% of the people that pay the ransoms even get access to their data again. So that's a pretty small amount. Even though you're doing the right thing, you think it still may not pay off for you.
You mentioned sensitive information security. So let's talk a little bit more about that. You know, how does a sales professional ensure the security of sensitive information, especially when they're using a mobile device? Or they may be in a public, you know, arena somewhere, and they're using some kind of an unsecured system or internet connection.
Well, that's a great point, because there's nothing more unsecure than using public Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Okay. So one of the couple of things that they need to really be aware of is they should be using some kind of virtual private network, a VPN. Okay. Absolutely. If you're in Starbucks and you're using their Wi-Fi, you really should not be transacting any kind of sensitive information. You certainly shouldn't be accessing information that would damage the company. I think, again, it all comes back to the fact that you need to elevate your a healthy sense of awareness. There are things that you can do on public Wi-Fi that don't really affect the business or affect the company, but there are things that do. So if it's of significant importance, what I would suggest is that you limit that type of communication to when you're in the office and you're plugged into the corporate network and you have all the benefit of the protections that we have in place. And I understand the temptation that people think, well, I'm on the cell phone, so I'm as equally protected as if I'm in the network on the landline. You're really not. Yeah. Because there are so many things out there that can grab data from your cell phone that the company may not be have configured the phone to protect against. So the short answer to all of that, Anne, is if it's important and it has the potential to damage the company, don't use public Wi-Fi, period.
It's that simple. Let's talk a little bit more about protocols. What are some essential safety protocols or best practices? And I know you talked a little bit about that already, but that every person that's in sales or is operating remotely should adhere to when it comes to cybersecurity.
Well, first and foremost, it using strong passwords are the number one. And I know that can be problematic because it becomes a little bit of a tedious exercise, and people, you're trading convenience for security. Okay, you're constantly balancing that act, those two items. And so, first and foremost, a strong password. And it can be a phrase, it can be a series of numbers. And obviously, we have requirements as a company. It has to be a mixture of uppercase, lowercase, numerical, special characters. You can even do a biometric authentication as well. I mean, there are up to, I believe the last item I read, there are 5 different types of biometrics, okay? From voice to image to touch. But most people just talk about 2. Where you have to type in a PIN number and it gets sent to your cell phone. And you access it like that. Okay. Again, number 2, piggybacking off what we just talked about, make sure that you're using secure connections. Okay. And public Wi-Fi is not a secure connection. Again, awareness. Be aware that unknown emails are embedded with corrupt malware. So a lot of this, and you have 2 aspects of it. You have the practical and physical aspects of making sure that your device is adequately protected, but that you also have to have a sense of awareness that you can't simply rely on the firewalls on the device to protect you and just go about your business as though you're bulletproof, because you're really not. So best practices are those. Stay current on updates are another issue. And again, fortunately, we have the benefit of working for a large corporation. So a lot of this is handled for us. But if you don't have that benefit, then it's on you to make sure that you're staying current on your updates. And another thing, too, you think about how many people downstream that we interact with that don't have the benefit of the various protections that a large corporation can provide. We're talking about realtors. We're talking about vendors. And a lot of what happens as far as attacking a target is where the cyber criminals actually attack the target from somebody further downstream who doesn't necessarily have the protections, and they can work their way back up through the various devices and get to the target. So that's something else. Protect your physical devices. Never leave your phone unattended in a public place.
Yeah.
Okay. That's an obvious one, but you'd be amazed at how many devices are stolen every year. I mean, it's hundreds of thousands. So those are some of the issues that, or best practices that we can kind of And that's just a drive-by version. Obviously, we could talk about that at length. So those are some of the things. Be aware of your surroundings, okay? Make sure your device is adequately protected. Make sure you have an adequate awareness of where you are, and don't put your phone down, period.
Wow. So that kind of was leading me into the next question, which you partially, I think, responded to. But let's talk a little about trends, you know, with the rise in more and more people working remotely, the brick and mortars, you know, kind of becoming a thing of the past. What kind of additional trends do you foresee cyber threats that could be targeting our industry, or in particular people that are in the sales role and are working outside of that, outside of the moat of the castle?
Well, I'll tell you one thing that has really kind of changed the game, and that is artificial intelligence. And the reason that I say that is because back in the day, when we were dealing with cyber criminals, they were basically the creator, the designer, the distributor of the malware that they were using in order to extract this data and information. So my point is that their level of competency dictated the level of threat that they represented. With artificial intelligence now and large language modules, there has been another industry that's grown up now, and that is people that are using AI to fine-tune their ability to attack individuals, entities, accounts. But instead of using the AI themselves, they now sell it as a fee-for-service to other cyber criminals who then take that application and use it for their own nefarious means. So now you have a hierarchy, whereas before it was all contained within the cyber criminal space. You now have the PhDs writing the artificial intelligence that then they sell to the cyber criminals. So that's probably the greatest game changer as far as future potential threats. Obviously, as the devices become more complicated, as our dependency on them increases, also increases the exposure as we do more, we transact more and more financial transactions on our cell phone. I mean, I get requests regularly from agents now asking if we would be willing to accept earnest money deposits through Venmo or Google Pay or Apple Pay. Okay. So there's... Even within the industry ourselves, you're seeing a migration towards wanting to do more and more on the cell phone, which, of course, increases the level of exposure. Another aspect to think about as far as potential future threats is that the supply chain is now being under attack, meaning that the cyber criminals can actually get to the cell phone during the manufacturing phase. So the phone is actually built and sold and shipped with malware already embedded in it, which, you know, is astonishing. So those are some of the, and everything else. As the cyber criminals get more sophisticated, it's incumbent upon us to try to anticipate those. But remember, we're always playing defense because we don't know what's out there until we learn about it, we're exposed to it. So those are some of the things to be aware of. It's in constant flux. We're always playing catch up, and our challenge too is that while we have to defend the data on our customer list and our financial information, we can't lock it down to the point that it becomes inaccessible. And by virtue of the fact that we're making it accessible, there's an element of risk that we have to take that is unavoidable if we want to continue to transact business in an electronic environment.
Right. You know, that leads me to the role that education and training plays in this. And you mentioned it a little bit already, but what are some ways that we can stay educated on all of these constantly changing threats? How do you keep yourself up to date? It is sometimes a challenge for all of us.
Well, there's a couple of different elements to that. First and foremost, you know, we have to make sure that everybody within the enterprise is operating within the strict corporate security guidelines. And that goes without saying. Okay. So again, it's a matter of reiterating some of the healthy cyber hygiene practices and everything that we've talked about. The number one thing that I think is the most important, and training and education is critical to this because we're constantly beating the drum, is to elevate the sense of awareness. And again, because if we're caught up in the day-to-day and we think that we are, impregnable with regards to this stuff, that's a recipe for disaster. So continuing to beat the drum on training and education and developing that cyber awareness muscle memory so that you're constantly aware of the exposure that not only you're putting yourself in, the agents as well, their customers. So those are some of the issues. Safe handling, again, all of this kind of falls under the best practices in cyber hygiene. Make sure that you understand when you're handling certain data that maybe you shouldn't be doing it on the phone. Maybe you should be, again, doing it through the network. So there's a hierarchy of data transmission, data handling, and I think those are two of the big issues with regards to training and education. And there's a variety of different ways that we can internally develop this. You know, for example, like doing this podcast right here. We can do monthly newsletters. We can work more closely with our IT department as far as seeing, you know, trends on their side. The object of the exercise ultimately is to get the sales folks to a place where they have a heightened sense of awareness. And if we can get there, because ultimately the user, the salesperson, the individual, we're the weakest link in the chain.
Yeah.
We really are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It leads me to, you know, I think the education and the awareness that you're talking about is such a critical thing. And I think, you know, sharing stories or situations that happen to other people is one way that we all can learn and grow in this industry and stay vigilant. Any story or incident that you could share with us?
It's not directly related to a salesperson, but it's stuck in my mind more because of its impact. And that was, there was a vendor that had a gift basket shop for agents, special events, realtors, this, that, and the other. Well, and she had been in business for years, well-established, great reputation, solid book of business. Her adult son developed an online relationship with a female who he believed was a senior analyst at a Wall Street investment company that allegedly had inside information on investments. And don't ask me how, but he was able to convince his mother to hand over her life savings to him, to hand over to this online relationship with this senior analyst, and that they were going to make a fortune on their investments. Well, it turns out that he had been what was called catfished. And that is, I'm sure you're familiar with the system, that the description. The long and the short of it was almost $200,000 vanished, gone without trace. She had to sell her business, went out of business, was involved in litigation because she had to violate the terms of her lease because she was out of money. And she ended up going back into her regular business. I know that's kind of an extreme example, but it always stuck with me that people are potentially exposing their livelihood and the livelihood and their means of supporting their family. This is not a victimless crime. And one of the things that going back to what we started with, one of the things that really got me involved in this was the fact that we work with a lot of honest people that are trying to make a living, do the right thing, that through no fault of their own, if they're a title agent, they are being co-opted into committing a crime that they aren't even aware of by virtue of the fact that they are being solicited to do something under the belief that they are dealing with a legitimate buyer, a legitimate seller, a legitimate realtor, and then come to find out that they weren't and the money is gone. And then we get the phone call.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, yeah, I agree with you. That's sort of a, an extreme example, but it sure did make me sit up and pay close attention, because at the end of the day, as you started in the beginning, it's all about, the cost, both the financial cost and the cost of running a business, or even the personal cost of becoming a victim of some of these things. So we're just about at the end, and I really, I could talk with you for hours on this. I know you have a lot more that you could share with us, so hopefully we'll have you back again. But for now, can you give us the bottom line on cybersecurity for sales professionals?
Yes. Develop a healthy sense of paranoia. I already have trust issues, so it's not that much of a stretch for me. But but really, don't take anything at face value. Trust but verify, as Ronald Reagan used to say. Okay, yeah. Before you send that wire out, before you do anything, make a phone call. Try to triangulate what it is that you're being asked to do. Okay, if it's a legitimate email and you delete it, they're going to email you back again.
Exactly.
Okay. So nothing. It's bottom line, this, I would rather take the heat for mistakenly overreacting than the consequences of underreacting to a situation.
Well, I think that's a terrific bottom line, a healthy sense of paranoia. I'm going to remember that. Well, Peter, I can't thank you enough for your time today and for sharing all of this great information. And to our audience, we hope that you found this conversation one that can help you to stay vigilant and continue to learn, grow, and prosper. Till next time, thanks so much for joining us.